A Confederacy of Dunces by John Kennedy Toole. Continued.
Disc 8.
Oh my God!
Ignatius mumbled, looking at the austere little calling card.
You can't really be named Dorian Green.
Yes, isn't that wild?
Dorian asked languidly. If I told you my real name, you'd never speak to me again. It's so common I could die just thinking of it. I was born on a wheat farm in Nebraska. You can take it from there.
Well, at any rate, I'm Ignatius J. Riley.
That isn't too dreadful. I sort of imagined you as a Horace or Humphrey or something like that. Well, don't fail us. Practice your speech. I guarantee a large crowd. Everyone is almost dead from ennui and general depression, so they'll be fighting for invitations. Give me a tinkle and we'll iron out the exact date.
Be sure to stress the importance of this historic conclave, Ignatius said. We shall want no fly-by-nights in this core group.
There may be a few costumes. That's what's so wonderful about New Orleans. You can masquerade and Mardi Gras all year round if you want to. Really, sometimes the quarter is like one big costume ball. Sometimes I can't tell friend from foe. But if you oppose costumes, I'll tell everyone, although their little hearts will snap with disappointment. We haven't had a good party in months.
I would not oppose a few tasteful and decent maskers, Ignatius said at last. They may add the proper international atmosphere to the meeting. Politicians always seem to want to shake hands with mongoloids in ethnic and native costumes. Now that I think of it, you may encourage a costume or two. We do not want any female impersonators, however. I don't believe that politicians care to be seen with them particularly. They cause resentment among rural voters, I suspect.
Now let me run along and find that silly Timmy. I'll frighten him to death.
Beware of that Machiavel of a policeman. If he gets wind of the plot, we're lost.
Oh, if I weren't so glad to see him back on the beat, I'd telephone the police and have him arrested immediately for soliciting. You don't know the wonderful expression that man used to get on his face when the squad car arrived to take him off. And the arresting officers, it was too priceless. But we'll all be so grateful to have him back. No one will dare mistreat him now. So long, Gypsy Mother!
Dorian skipped off down the alley to find the decadent mariner. Ignatius looked toward Royal Street and wondered what had happened to the Women's Art Guild. He lumbered over to the passageway where his cart was hidden, prepared a hot dog, and prayed that some customers would happen along before the day was over. Sadly, he realized how low Fortuna had spun his wheel. He had never imagined that he would one day be praying that people buy hot dogs from him. At least he had a magnificent new scheme ready for launching against M. Minkoff. The thought of the kickoff rally cheered him greatly. This time, the Minks would be totally confounded. It was all a matter of storage. From almost 1 to 3 every afternoon, George was stuck with the packages. One afternoon, he had gone to a movie, but even there in the dark, watching a double bill of 2 nudist colony films, he wasn't comfortable. He was afraid to put the packages down on an adjoining seat, especially in a theater like that one. Holding them in his lap, he was reminded of the burden throughout the 3 hours of tanned flesh that filled the screen.